Thank you. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's very nice to be back here at Reading. Thank you for the warm welcome. I wonder, brothers and sisters, when we come together each week for our memorial meeting, where your mind is. Where your mind is in the morning, when you're preparing to come to the meeting, where your mind is when you're coming in and you're saying hello to everyone again, and where your mind is now, when we're about to take the bread and the wine. As we're instructed, we do this in remembrance of Christ's perfect sacrifice, don't we? We have in symbol his broken body and his blood before us in the bread and the wine. And as well as that remembrance, we often use this as a time of reflection. We will look back and we will think about how we might have been over the past week, what we did well, what we perhaps didn't do so well, and how we might be able to improve going forward. And for me personally, those two things are in quite sharp contrast. We see on one hand this perfect life that was lived, the chief cornerstone, the one that the scribes and the chief priests saw and said, "This is the heir, come, let us kill him, that we might have the inheritance." This was the perfect example that we have as one who walked this earth with a sinless life. And on the other hand, there is us, sorry, sinful human beings who make mistakes day in, day out. And unfortunately, this can be quite a sharp contrast, can't it? And it can be really quite difficult to find encouragement when we look at that and how far off we are from this perfect example. So this morning, I would just like to spend some time in a particular psalm and perhaps give us all some confidence on this matter and help us with this challenge. Before we do that, please turn to Psalm 1. I talked about this perfect example that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we have an ideal that is set out in Psalm 1. This is right at the beginning of the book of Psalms. We have this ideal that I would suggest we are all striving for. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What a picture we have here at the start of Psalms of this ideal man or woman that is perfectly following what God has set out for us. He doesn't stand or sit or walk with these ungodly or sinful people. Instead, he is fixed firmly on God's word and he meditates on it day and night. He is fed constantly by these rivers of water. What a wonderful picture that is set out for us here. Again, something to aspire to. Well, I want to come forward now, keeping that picture in mind, to Psalm 26, please. Because here we have a Psalm of David where he is picking up each of these elements. And I'd just like to work through this psalm together this morning and see what we can learn about David and his attitude at this time when he was writing this psalm. Psalm 26, we're going to see a real picture of confidence with David here. Psalm 26, verse 1. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord, I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Here is David standing before God saying, try me. Examine all of me, every part of me. Look at the words that are used. Three different examples we have. Vindicate or judge me, verse 1. Examine me, verse 2. Prove me. And then try my mind and my heart. This divine scrutiny that he is welcoming here is really quite bold, brothers and sisters. I don't know how many of us would be so willing to stand there in this confidence saying, yes, please, Lord, examine everything that I have done and challenge me and try me on all of these things that I have done over the past week or months or years. Here is a man who is open and willing to be examined by God. There's nothing that he's trying to hide here in any way. This examining and proving or trying, it has this idea of refining metals, doesn't it? Being put through that flame. Is there going to be any dross that comes to the surface that he needs to scrape away? Well, David here is saying he doesn't think there is. He can be tried in this way, and there's nothing that he needs to hide, nothing that's going to come to the surface in this way. The confidence that he has here is huge. In verse 1, the second half, you might have an extra word added there. It says, I have also trusted in the Lord, therefore I shall not slip. Well, the word therefore isn't actually there. I have trusted in the Lord, I shall not slip. This is the confidence that David has. Nothing is going to go wrong here for David, as he puts it in this psalm. And it is his whole body that he is opening up for examining here. There is nothing that he wants to hide. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes. Have a look back at Deuteronomy chapter 6. This came up in our Mark reading this morning, but let's go back to Deuteronomy 6, to this well-known passage, and see where David's mind was at this time. Deuteronomy 6, coming at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. All and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. These are some of the elements we're going to start seeing. And when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. These were physical things that the children of Israel had to remember the Lord God and his statutes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Every fiber of his being, that is exactly what David is welcoming here. There is nothing that he has to hide. And I think here he has this in mind when he says, your loving kindness is before my eyes. We have each of these elements coming out from Psalm 1 in Psalm 26. That's why I think it's a good one to compare to that ideal that is set out in Psalm 1. And our first element came in verse 1. I have walked in my integrity. Now that sounds good on the face of it, doesn't it? I have walked in my integrity. But when you start to unpick that, it's maybe not as impressive as it seems. Lots of people today, whether religious or not, will be able to say, I've walked in my own integrity. I have walked according to my own morals. The phrase you will hear these days is, That's my truth. And I've done according to my truth. So if I have walked in my integrity, well, congratulations. It doesn't necessarily say very much about you. You've just done what you thought was right. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We recognize those words, don't we? So what is it that David's trying to say here? How was it put in Psalm 1? It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, so he said he's not saying that he's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, but he is walking in his own integrity. Come further down to the end of verse 3. Verse 3, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. So now when this is attached to my integrity and your truth, well, then this suddenly does stand for a lot. His integrity is aligned to God's truth. So he is walking according to God's ways. And this suddenly does become very powerful. He isn't walking with the ungodly. He is walking according to God's ways. This is the walk that David is embarking upon. So here he is, opening himself up for this examining at the beginning of this psalm. Let's work through some of our other elements. Verse 4 and 5. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals. How does it put it in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So not sitting in the seat of the scornful. Verse 4, I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. So twice we had a reference to walking, twice we have a reference to sitting. And he is refusing to sit with these idolatrous people or with the wicked. Now, I don't think here he's saying that it's a bad thing to be with those people. I think the idea of sitting here is this prolonged or this continued association with these people. It's making a decision or an effort to spend a prolonged time and to be associated with these people. These are people that he did not want to be influenced by. Who is it? Idolatrous mortals, hypocrites, evildoers, wicked. Note the reference to hypocrites there. We'll see that later on in this psalm. And it works very nicely with exactly what he's trying to do at the start here, to show his entire being. A hypocrite, and what the characters we'll see later, are all those who are trying to hide who they really are. They're showing a different side. They're trying to twist things to change the reality. Well, the David that we're seeing here is one of openness and honesty before God. And he wants no association with those hypocrites. And so the result of his actions, what do they allow? Well, verse 6 and 7, I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. That idea of the washing before approaching the altar, that's Exodus 30, verse 17, if you want to look at it. The principle is there in God's word that he is following, and as a result, he can approach God's altar. And what does all of this allow him to do? What does this walk that he is on, what do the people that he's choosing not to sit with, what does this allow him to do? Well, it allows him to proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving. Just like we started our service this morning with those wonderful words of praise in our psalm reading, I will proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. This position of openness and confidence that David has allows him to share this wonderful message and proclaim these wondrous works. This is where he now finds himself. And verse 8, we're really building to the height of this psalm now. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. You see, he doesn't want to be anywhere else. He doesn't want the association with the sinners. He doesn't want to walk with them or be caught up in these things. He loves one thing, the habitation of God's house and the place where his glory dwells. This is not a new concept in Psalms by any means. A couple of Psalms back in Psalm 23, very well known, verse 5 and 6, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is where David's mind is. Turn over a page to Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. Of course, it's exactly what we read in Psalm 26, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. This is what David desires. This is where his heart is. We start to see where his confidence is coming from. He's not concerned about anything that might be on offer at the time. He is interested in God's dwelling place alone. That's what he's looking forward to. And so his plea in verse 9 and 10 is not to gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme and in whose right hand is full of bribes. This is the same idea that we saw earlier, isn't it, with the hypocrites. These are those who are trying to twist things, a sinister scheme, those who are full of bribes. That's what he's not interested. Don't gather my soul with those sinners. Verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. We saw that earlier, didn't we? With his walking in God's truth. Redeem me and be merciful to me. What's our final element from Psalm 1? The one who doesn't stand in the path of sinners. Well, here it is, verse 12. Instead, my foot stands in an even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. His confidence is built upon this sure foundation. We read in Mark of Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Well, here is this firm foundation. My foot stands in an even place. There is no wobble or doubt here. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. And you might be starting to think, brothers and sisters, I said we were going to have some confidence and some encouragement here. I said that we looked at Christ's example and we felt so far inferior to that we were going to see some encouragement. And we've gone through the ideals in Psalm 1 and the picture that they bring out in Psalm 26 as well. But we're still left with this high and lofty position. Where is the confidence there for us? Well, I think it all builds around this idea in verse 11 that I brushed over. You see, at the start, he says, at the start of Psalm 26, he says, vindicate me, examine me, test me or prove me. What's he saying in verse 11? Redeem me and be merciful to me. That is where his strength and his confidence is coming from here, in the fact that God is able to save and he will be merciful to David and to any who follow his ways. It is because of God's grace and his mercy that David has such confidence that he could stand there before God in this judgment picture and say, "Examine me, Lord, because I have followed your ways." It is because of this mercy. It is because of God's power to save. If you turn with me to Psalm 52, I want to draw our thoughts to a close, please. In Psalm 52, the first seven verses, David is once again looking at evil men, at wickedness, at deceitful tongues, and he's saying how he doesn't want to be like that. But he comes to verse 8 and 9. What is the picture? I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. He is like the tree that is planted by rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. Here is this green olive tree, well watered and ripe with fruit. And where is that olive tree? In the house of God, exactly where he longs to dwell. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. What allows him to be there in that position? It is the mercy of God that he trusts in. And as we saw before, because of this position, what does it allow him to do? Verse 9, I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. And so, brothers and sisters, we come here, don't we, each week to remember the Lord Jesus Christ in bread and in wine. Daunting though it may seem sometimes, perhaps today as we remember and as we reflect, we of course will recognize our sinful ways. But perhaps we can also reflect on the confidence that David had, the same confidence that we can share because we trust in God's mercy and in Jesus' saving name, and that one day soon we will dwell in the house of God forever. Thank you for listening.